Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm joining you live right now on WWCR around the world on December the 23rd. Well, we're just 2 days away from the Christmas mark of Christianity. We've been talking about the stolen identity brought to you courtesy of those who love to lie. Tonight on the subtitle, we're going to give you a search for the real Bethlehem. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that Satan is such a convincing liar. That's what he does for a living. And how many souls that he has deceived through a lie. Did you know that a lie will wash right over the truth and cover it up? But the Bible said a lie is for a moment. The truth, after you roll the lie away, after it rolls over, then the truth will be there for you to dig deep and to find. As the shops fill with Christmas goods, we're now 2 days away from the great festival of Saturnalia. And we've been convinced, as we sing the words and we image it in our heart, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Well, if you actually look at all of the Christmas cards and the gift wraps and the presents that is sent in celebration of this man called Yahweh, Jesus in the Greek rendering, we think about a little town, a little obscure town in Bethlehem, Judea. Here we have the view of the leading Israeli archaeologist. Bethlehem, Judea, really did lie still at the time of Christ's birth because there was no little town there. Let me repeat this now. Here is the leading Israeli archaeologist proving what I have preached for years, that at the time of the birth of Christ, there was no evidence of Bethlehem, Judea. Did you know that the scriptures will verify just exactly what I say? But yet, we now have a Bethlehem, Judea. And we have been convinced by misappropriation of that truth, by washing over the truth with a lie and covering up the truth with a lie. Hitler said that if a lie often repeated enough, it becomes established truth. But ladies and gentlemen, you got to dig deep and get on the standard solid rock, the foundation. You must be able to discern. You must actually be able to overcome the deception or the delusions that Yahweh would send those half-hearted, those half-concerned, or those that never really pay the ultimate price to dig deep and to get into the foundation of truth. The Bible said to prove all things. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here I am offering a $5,000 reward tonight live on WWCR around the world for anybody that can prove that Christ was even Jewish. And yet, 99% of the deceived, washed-over Christians, oh yes, they're washed, most of them in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost name. Let's go to Matthew 28:19 for just a moment and explain to you just exactly how that text has been washed over the truth of the actual meaning of Matthew 28:19 when it says to baptize in the name of the Father, not to say Father. And yet we get the core church of Revelation 17 and her standard dogma of lies and deception, bringing in a false Greek-Latin name, actually covered up, if you will, the great wave of deception rolled in by men of corrupt minds that admired the great god, the sky god, the principal sky god, Zeus, in order to cover up the great name of Yahweh, written approximately 7,000 times in the scriptures. They denied Yahweh, the Hebrew God, not the Jewish God, ladies and gentlemen. You see, everything is Jewish today or Gentile. And by that simple division of tradition, this is the washing over that I'm speaking about, and the great deception and the stolen identity. It's all wrapped in a neat little package of Semitism. And so tonight, around the world, on Sunday night, here on the 23rd of December, the plays and the performances and the merrymaking, this is a time to celebrate. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to assure you that the celebration is in vain. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of the men of the ancient ages, which came in unaware and would not spare the flock. And they brought the cosmetic lies of the devil. Number one, they stole the actual real birthplace. Here, the leading Israeli archaeologist said Bethlehem really did not exist, and there was no town there, and the nativity took place elsewhere at another Bethlehem much closer to Nazareth. Now, don't get mad at me. These men, these learned men, that takes the spade and the shovel and proves what Pastor Buddy is saying. I don't need a spade and a shovel. All I've done is dig deep into the foundation of the Word of Yahweh, turn the page a few times, push my plate back and refuse to eat because I wanted the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me Yahweh. And Yahweh said, if you, the day that you seek me with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, you can find me. Well, when you find him, you lose your friends. The things that you once loved, you'll now hate. When revelations come to your eye and you see through the cosmetic lies that Satan has rolled over through tradition, the Bible says that for us to be destroyed for the lack of knowledge, it is obvious if we seek knowledge and obey that knowledge and receive that knowledge. And ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh has not left us without the preponderance of the evidence when it's rightly divided, not added to or taken from. Most people use the tradition to add to. And of course, by adding to, they take from. That's an absolute automatic. When you add to, you take from. Because what they add is not agreeable with the rightly dividing. The town of Bethlehem, Judea. We go back to Genesis chapter 35, where we look at the 19th verse as we close out our life message on stolen identity. And in search of the real Bethlehem tonight, as we subtitle our message, In Search of the Real Bethlehem, as Christians around the world celebrate the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem, Judea, when it was actually in Bethlehem, Ephratah, exactly approximately 50 miles north in Galilee. Did you know that Christ was called a Galilean? Here we find that this Israeli archaeologist says that he was born at another Bethlehem much closer to Nazareth. This Bethlehem was exactly 4 miles. Did you know that the other one was at least 90 miles away and that Mary would have had to ride or walk, take your choice, and the mode of transportation would have been that way. It would either ride in the back of a donkey or a horse, and probably the former, the donkey. Actually, that's what Christ was riding into the triumphant entry on the 10th day of the event of Passover. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have proven to you that Christ was not born in December the 25th of the winter solstice that was brought in by the Saturnalia church, the worship of the sun god. Know how she's deceived many, and we've got many Yahwists that are trying to uphold the teaching of the sun god Saturnalia church and deny the actual truth. Here, the birthplace of the Messiah is prophesied in the Bible. And I have proven this time after time. I have actually proven the Kinsman Redeemer. My series on the Kinsman Redeemer, I have 4 to 5 to 6 hours of that teaching on the Kinsman Redeemer. That means that somebody in the bloodline of the Messiah, who was prophesied to come from Genesis 49, verses 22 through 24, out of the house of Joseph. Now, if he didn't make it, and he was born a Jew, and he had the blood of Judah instead of the blood of Joseph. If David was a Jew, then David could not be from the succeeding kings that are promised to rule eternally. Ladies and gentlemen, it was Yahshua, the Ephraimite, or the house of Joseph, that settled in the area of Bethel. Bethel is the only place geographically on the planet that has his name naturally carved by the finger of Almighty Yahweh. The name is embedded in the mountains in the actual Hebrew language. Get over that, if you can, with the lie that lasts only for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, this truth's coming. There ain't nobody going to hold it back. It's inevitable that the tidal wave of truth, this tsunami, if you will, of revelation, it will start as a gentle roll, and it will raise in height and volume and speed until the Bible says in the book of Daniel that the little stone that will cause this great wave, that it will roll down the mountain. This stone is the great name of Yahweh. It is not the name of Jesus that all the Christians are singing about tonight. This is a Greek-Latin God. And the deceived, the ignorant, and the uneducated, or the lying prophets for filthy lucre's sake, will not take the name of the few to preach to the many. Ladies and gentlemen, will the true identity of our Creator please stand up? Well, Yahweh said, you lying priest, Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 25 through verses 27 says, you lying preachers. Oh, you say, Pastor Buddy, they don't lie. They style and profile, and they preach prosperity. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, these evangelists, these radio, great radio personalities, TV personalities, are nothing but a laughable joke of silliness and tradition as they go about to tickle the ears of the hearers and preach them smooth speech and enticing words, and they're very gifted to do that. As I've told you before, that Satan is a transformed angel, and so is his ministers, who would deceive the very elect, as they did in the days of Jeremiah, who laid on his side, who pained, and who suffered the rejection of Yahweh, the one he Jeremiah, not Jeremiah G. Ladies and gentlemen, the H word is reserved for those who would seek to turn away the men from the faith. They have taught my people. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25, 26, and 27. These lying preachers have caused my people to forget my name for Lord. Oh my, let me read that again. These lying preachers who call themselves preachers and preach not for the truth of Yahweh, but to take a lie and a great wave of the lies, because the prophets of the Lord are many. Lord is nothing but a Baal God. L-O-R-D is nothing but a Baal God. And all these Baal gods and their prophets are many. But the Bible said, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. Following the Six-Day War, surveys showed plenty of Iron Age pottery, but with the single exception of a publication that mentions the Herodian shreds found in a corner of a church in Bethlehem, Judea, there is surprisingly, listen to me now, no archaeological evidence that ties Bethlehem in Judea to the period in the time that Christ would be born. This is the archaeologist of Israel. You would certainly believe that Jew, wouldn't you? You believe him for everything else now. Can you believe this? Surprisingly, no archaeological evidence that ties Bethlehem in Judea to the period and the time. In other words, it didn't exist, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know where that the great prophet, the only prophet, there's many scriptures that point to or back or toward or from to this prophecy made in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And when I read Matthew chapter 2, where the scribes said that Christ would be born, they said that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Did you know at the time that Christ was born, 2,000 years ago approximately, that the nation that we know as Israel, not the present-day Israel, we're talking about the ancient Israel. The houses divided in 1 Kings chapter 17, the houses were divided and the 10 northern tribes were separated from the two tribes in the south. Benjamin miscegenated into the house of Judah, Ephraim, Joseph, and the other 10 northern tribes situated in Galilee. That's the north. Well, Christ, listen to me well tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I feel the great anointing, and I hope and trust and pray as we search for the true Bethlehem that you will open up your ears that you can hear, and that you will open up your eyes that you can see. In the 90s, as one of the Israeli archaeologist agency staff, Mr. Oshara, carried out a rescue archaeology at the rural settlement of Bethlehem in Galilee. Guess what he found? He was surprised to find a substantial ancient community that existed at the time of Christ. We know that Bethlehem of Galilee was a bustling center of the life of the Hebrews around the time of the birth of Christ, he said. There were residential areas and a workshop for making stone vessels used in the Hebrew purification rituals there in their temples. In the 19th century, there were suggestions that the Galilee site could have been the real Bethlehem, as Pastor Buddy has tried to convince his listeners. And you that have studied with me know that I take no prisoners. I don't compromise. I don't back up. I won't accept men's favors or their money or their filthy lucre. I can do without it. I've been a poor man all of my life and expect to die with none. Can't take it with me no way. And matter of fact, all I want to take is the foundation of truth. that is able to supply me with riches beyond the filthy lucre of the FRNs that I could gather. If I could, did you know most men and preachers will sell out for filthy lucre? Their bellies are their gods. Or they love the praise of men, just like the Pharisees. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it raises the question of why such a huge house or a huge settlement at the time was built in the heart of Galilee, Mr. Oshira notes. Well, now let's go back to Matthew and Luke describing Bethlehem and Judea as the birthplace of the Messiah. Now listen to me well. Catch this if you will. The prophet Micah said that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Now remember, here's the archaeologist said that Bethlehem, Judea didn't exist then. Oh my. And neither did it exist at the time of Christ. But there was a Bethlehem in Galilee. Did you know that all of the disciples that Christ chose, of all of the disciples that he chose, there was only one Jewish disciple in the crowd? You say, well, what's that got to do with the price of truth? Well, do you think it's strange that Christ was reared, brought up, was called a Galilean? Did you know that in Luke chapter 1, it talks about in the sixth month, and I've told you that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when the announcement of Gabriel came to Miriam and pronounced a pregnancy was coming upon her. Now, we're getting ready for the seventh month, which is the fall tabernacle. Fall tabernacle. In other words, he's going to fall from heaven, the Son of God. God's very essence, the very essence of the eternal spirit, is going to manifest itself in a flesh body, for unto us a son is born. In the very first verse of the quoted scripture of Isaiah chapter 9, if you'll start at verse 1 and read through verse 6, it says, in Galilee beyond Jordan, going north, unto us a son will be born. Isaiah prophesied right there. It's the pointer that I'm talking about by rightly dividing the scriptures. Not one scripture, ladies and gentlemen, is there in the Bible written that Christ will be born in Bethlehem of Judea. You say, well, no, Pastor Buddy, I can read there where it said he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. You can read where the scribe said he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, but that was a lie. Scribe's lie. Christ said himself, a Galilean, warning us about the Jews, who were Pharisee and scribe Jews, born out of the illegitimate blood of Judah and the Canaanite woman. This is how that the Jews, what we call Jews, not all Judah, is Jews, ladies and gentlemen. Judah is Hebrew. The house of Joseph is Hebrew. The house of Naphtali is Hebrew. The house of Zebulun, where it's mentioned in the scripture, in Bethlehem, that is in Zebulun, in the Galilean place, 4 miles from Nazareth. Oh my. Right at the place where Joshua in English, if you really want to know, some people don't know the difference between the two. And I said the J name, Jesus, is the only J name. Joshua starts with a Joshua sound, J sound. Jesus starts with a G sound. Reckon that there is some kind of a tomfoolery going on here, ladies and gentlemen. Just like the lion scribe said he would be born in Bethlehem, Judea. Wonder why they wanted him to be born down in Bethlehem, Judea. Because the heritage or the birthright, do you see the Messiah, this great honor that the tribe that would produce the bloodline of the Messiah would be an honored, exalted tribe among the nations, the 13 nations of Israel. Oh my. And so then, the battle was on. It started in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis when they tried to do away with the true birthright son. His name was Joseph. Christ epitomizes. He typifies. He patterns the very essence of what Joseph was all about. Joseph never did go down to a Canaanite woman and have children. He was tested and tried by the Egyptian woman who sought to cause him to sin and transgress. Oh yeah, Christ was tempted in all points, as was Joseph. The typology here between the birthright son Joseph, you say, oh well now, Pastor, but I don't mean nothing, glory to God, the royal house of Judah. The royal house of Judah is no more royal than the house of Joseph or the house of Reuben. I showed you in the 38th chapter of the book of Judah. Wonder why people won't listen to me? Because my message is too complex, too deep. And they don't want to humble down. They want to stay with tradition. They love to get up and sing Christmas carols in the halls of their established tabernacles as they worship a false name and a false god and claim they're Christian. Oh, that's just exactly what the Messiah said. In vain they worship me, they'll come before me, and they will say, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name, Lord? And then Yahweh, not the Lord, but Yahweh will say, because in Matthew 25, verses 31, he says, I am coming. And when I come, I will sit upon the throne of my glory. Everybody wants to stand in on the right or the left hand of the Father or someplace other than the seat of the throne. The throne has been looked into twice in the New Testament, and each time there was one sitting on it, and he was likened unto the Son of Man. That Son of Man was John 1:1, the beginning of the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the Word was God. That God was Yahweh. Wasn't no pagan heathen God named Zeus. No way. Ladies and gentlemen, we better wake up here. You better save yourself.
Well, my wife now, she ain't gonna go along that pastor, but ain't nowhere to go.
You tell that woman to go straight to hell. Well, Pastor Buddy, you're just jumping on the women? No. I've said this before. If your husband will not have the name of Yahweh, give him a round trip ticket out of your life where that he'll never enter back into it. I mean, not just a one-way ticket, but a round trip out of your way. Put away all of those who will not have Yahweh out of your life. Separate yourself from house, from land, from children, from wife, from husband, anything that will not have Yahweh as the supreme ordinance. And if your dedication is not dedicated enough, if you don't love Yahweh more than you love your wife, you ain't worthy of him no way, because she'll get you. You wives that don't love Yahweh more than you love your husband, and you should love your husband and obey them if they're men. Think men, get away and find you one. Seek you out somebody that'll stand up for the great, magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh. And then when you hear these slick willies, these slow bellies, these fat bellies, these jungle bunnies, these hipper hoppers, these pay, pray, and prosper preachers, you'll have a man to keep you out of that mess. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And if you know better, and you're still in there mixing it up with the wicked who claim to be righteous, ladies and gentlemen, just because you don't carry a machine gun to church, and now it looks like you're going to have to start carrying one to go to church. You know why? Because of the condition, the lukewarm condition. The Messiah said it, because you're neither hot nor cold. I'd rather have a woman sitting on a bar stool drinking Jack Daniels and amen in the word than her sitting in the pews singing Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, I would also rather have a man sitting on a bar stool drinking Jack Daniels. And I'm not favoring drinking alcohol. Christ was accused of being a glutter and a drunkard. But when he walked in, the men knew that there was a man in town. When he walked in, the women knew there was a man. And he had nothing to do with the world, but rather reproved it, preached outside of the temple that it took 46 years. And these people standing in line to get into some of these tabernacles here in America called the Cathedral of Glass. Just take off the G and the L and you might have the rest of it real right. The Mormon Tabernacle. Yeah, to me it's a less man. Because Yahweh does not dwell in temples made by hand. I don't care how much stained glass, how much glory, how much mortar, and how many stones or brick. You are the temple of Yahweh, and if you ain't got no truth, listen to me here. In the Gospel of Luke, notice this, ladies and gentlemen. Luke chapter 23. Let me give you a verse of scripture. When he learned, now here is the Messiah. They're fixing to interrogate him. He's going to trial. The Jews have bound him, arrested him, and now they've got him to appear before the magistrate. And did you know that they took him to Pilate? Now, guess what territory, now remember this now, when the Roman legions came in, they divided the territory into two different territories. One territory extended up to the city of Bethlehem, Zebulun, and went as far south as Judah, where the Roman province they control, and they called it the land of Judea, including it all. At the time of Christ, that was not so. The dividing line was down below Jerusalem. Now, let me repeat this. At the time of Joshua's division, and for you people that want to know the true geographical and the geography of the area, all you got to do is study the book of Joshua, and he'll give you the distribution of the tribes and their lands and their borders. I studied in that book for over a year and a half, proving these things that I teach. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I've got some study in my heart and under my belt and in my head that I don't have to really search to find the key or the question or to solve it. I don't have to search. I don't have to do my searching. I do search the Bible daily and refresh my mind. And the Bible says that we should study the Scriptures to show ourselves approved. If you'll look at the division of the time of Christ, it was occupied by the Romans, and they've repartitioned this. This is why that the Jews said in Bethlehem, Judea. Because at that time, they had accepted that the partition of Judah had been enlarged to extend above, not below Jerusalem, which was the actual boundary or the parallel where they divided the two nations, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It was below Jerusalem. Jerusalem and the territory of Jerusalem was given to the house of Benjamin. Judah was below Benjamin, and then the next house up, the land territory of Bethel, Ephrathah, Genesis 35:19, if you want to read it, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find geographically where the Bethel, or the Bethlehem, the first Bethlehem was, not the second, you can read it in Genesis 35:19. Now, Rachel's grave, I covered it a little bit, and I'm not going to have time even to take a break here because I'm on a roll, and I want to get this in because before Christmas, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ was not born in Bethlehem, Judea. He was not a Jew. And I'm going to leave this earth and face the Almighty in my heart for what I teach and what I preach and those that I convince. Ladies and gentlemen, if I convince you of a lie, I certainly will not have much blood on my hands because I'm after the few. If I stayed where I was at for the 30 years, and I've been in this for over 52 years. 52 years I've been preaching the word of Yahweh to a lost and a dying world. The first 30 of that was in Jesus' name. I made a conversion. Now, by changing from the name of Jesus, or Jesus in Spanish, and all you Jesus preachers, it's Jesus in tonight, how about it? Jesus, I'll preach Yahweh. I'll preach the original Hebrew name spoken approximately 6,823 times and 1,000 times in the New Testament where they put L-O-R-D, the Baal God, L-O-R-D. Look up the word Baal. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the word Baal means L-O-R-D? And there was many Baals, not just one. So when you say Lord, you're talking about a Baal God because it refers you to Lord. Look it up and see. See if Pastor Buddy's telling you the truth. Folks, I wouldn't get on a national radio and embarrass myself if I thought somebody was going to call me up in the middle of the program and embarrass me. I've got peers outside listening. I've got the enemy outside listening. They're just waiting, as they waited on Christ, for his speech, that they could catch him in his speech. Did you know that they accused Peter of being a Galilean? Did you know that Christ chose 11 Galileans and one Jew? Now, this Jew, we know who he was. We know his father was. He chose one Jewish person, if you will. Now, allow me to say that. Then I'll clarify what I'm saying just in a moment, because most people think that Christ was a Jew. Well, wonder why he chose 11 Hebrews out of the house of Galilee. Did you know that on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, that all of them that spoke in tongues were Galileans? Every one of them, 120 of them. And it was the Jews who mocked and made fun and claimed that they were drunk on new wine. Now, these Jews were the leaders of the Sanhedrin who crucified the Messiah and killed him and said, away with him, and we'll have his possession. Wonder what they was wanting. Want his birthright. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if he'd been a Jew, you'd think that they would, him and them would have gone along real good. John 7:1, that it got so bad, Christ was trying to teach to the Hebrews, the whole 13 tribes, but it got so bad in the jurisdiction of Judah, and Pilate was over Judah. Guess who was over Galilee? Herod. Luke 23:7, and when Pilate learned that the Messiah was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at the time, to hold court. Now let me repeat that. Luke 23:7, when he learned that the Messiah was under Herod's jurisdiction. Well, did you know that the Bible says that Pilate, and I'll tell you what chapter it's in, Luke chapter 3, Pilate was over Judea, and Herod was over Galilee. Wonder what they sent him to Herod for. When Pilate found that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he was a Galilean, ladies and gentlemen. He was born in Galilee. You say, oh, no, he lived in Galilee, but now, Pastor Buddy, now, glory to God, Shundai. I just feel the Holy Ghost here. You can speak in tongues till you turn blue in the face, and you'll never convince me that you've got the Holy Spirit when you won't have the truth. You can run that by somebody else, because I spent 30 years in the Pentecostal movement, and I heard all kinds of false spirits speaking in tongues. There is a true tongue, but 99% of that gookie-wook is nothing but pure fabrication of lies and demonic deception. You have somebody to lay hands on you and shake the Holy Ghost in you. Folks, it don't come. Holy Ghost comes through truth. It comes through pure desire. It took me 30 years to separate the two. I'm telling you, Satan is very crafty. Luke 23:8. When Herod saw, now here they remove the Messiah, Yahweh Shua. They move him out, call Jesus in the Greek New Testament. And when Herod saw the Messiah, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been waiting to see him, for he had heard about him, and he hoped to see him perform some kind of a miracle. Now that's the extent of the mentality of Herod. And did you know that's the extent of the mentality of most Christians? Oh, Lord, you ought to come over here. They're walking on the benches, and they're laying on the floor laughing. There's some kind of spirit to get all over you. Glory to God. And people flock for spirits of miracles. And the Bible says that Satan will perform them in so much that he would deceive the very elect. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been there. I know. I spent 30 years in there. I really ought to know what I'm talking about. I know the difference between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. I love men that'll speak the truth. I love women that'll come up and speak the truth. Whether it high lifts the devil and puts a kink in his back, when he walks, he'll go under the door instead of through it. Now listen to this. He was greatly pleased, for he wanted to see him work a miracle. Now notice this. Then Herod and his soldiers, after that they examined him, now Herod, the governor of Galilee, ridiculed and mocked him, dressed him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. Because, see, Pilate was the Roman catcheret, if you will, the Roman governor. And so Rome is the only one that could actually put him to death. That day, Luke 23:12. I want you to read it, ladies and gentlemen. Turn over to Luke 23:12 to show you that these two kingdoms, one in the south called Judah, that extended under the Roman occupation, they extended the jurisdiction of Judah. Of course, they were trying to gobble up land anyway, up to the border of Bethlehem, Zebulun, 4 miles from the city of Nazareth, where Christ was brought up. And so then, the same partition was not as it was originally given by Yahweh, because man came in. Luke 23 and verse 12. I want you to read it. And that day, Herod and Pilate became friends, because before this, they had been political enemies. Oh my. But in Luke 23:15, listen to this now. After they became friends and then examined this man, because, you see, Herod got disappointed in him because he wouldn't work a miracle. Well, Pilate was scared to death because he was trying to walk a tightrope between the Jews and Rome. And he didn't want no insurrection, and Christ had been proved. The Jews accused him of preaching insurrection. Neither Herod nor Pilate says that he's wrong. He has done nothing to deserve death. Pilate and Herod both ruled that he had done nothing. Notice this, ladies and gentlemen. Luke chapter 2. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee, to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Now, where's that at? What was David's lineage? What was his bloodline? You see, David could not, if he was a Judean, if David was actually a Judean called a Jew, as most Christians would say he was, and I challenge that. If you think I'm playing games, I'm just on here to play games to excite you or to get you to scramble around in the Bible and trying to fool you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got another thing coming. I am dead serious. I'll die for what I stand for. I will die in the name of Yahweh. And I will die knowing where he was born. And I will proclaim it. And I will also know what bloodline he had in him. His blood was out of the house of Joseph. He was the birthright Messiah, prophesied of Micah 5 and 2, in the land of Zebulun, in the land of Galilee, beyond the river of Jordan, in the land of Galilee. And that's exactly where he was born. The same place where Jacob rested and Rachel died. Bethlehem, the original Bethlehem. This is the home place where the name of Yahweh is written right in the earth, right for a photocopy. I'll copy for it and send it to you. Ladies and gentlemen, the name, if you know anything about the Hebrew name, in the square script, Hebrew, the name of Yahweh, not the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus ain't been found nowhere in history. But the name of Yahweh, ancient, in the natural configuration, Yahweh wrote his name and signed his signature right at Bethel, and this is where that Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob built their altars, and they claimed that spot. That's where Yahweh stood, and the angels ascended up and down the ladder there on the great ship as they sat down upon top of Mount Gerizim. Deuteronomy chapter 27, where the ancient Israelites in the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua led them across into this place, and it was a sacred place. That's where they kept their first Passover. That's where you'll see the Passovers in the time to come. Now let's go to 7, Luke 7. If you go to 7:42. Still others ask, how can Christ come from Galilee? They've been told that by the lying scribes and the Pharisees, he's going to come from Bethlehem, Judea, and he'd be a Jew. Or he would be out of the blood of Judah. The word Jew is deceptive. Just like the word Gentile. The house of Israel is not Gentile. Go not to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the 10 northern tribes. They weren't Gentiles. Christ didn't call them Gentiles. You can call them that if you like. But as long as you call them a Gentile, you just don't know who you are if you're Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, you better wake up. And the time is now at the door that you better wake up, because you're going to judgment. And you'll have to face some of the scrutiny of the scriptures that I'm bringing up. And they said, does not the scripture say that Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Well, that's right where he went back to. The last days of the Messiah, he didn't go back to Bethlehem, Judea. John chapter 12, verses 54 through 58. It says that Christ went to the city of Ephraim in the wilderness. It had become a wilderness, ladies and gentlemen. The little obscure town of Bethlehem, Bethel. That's where he was born. That was his home place. That's where David lived. He was a sheep tender upon the hills of Mount Gerizim, where Yahshua took the territory and gave it to Joseph's children, Ephraim. And out of that was born, out of the house of Joseph. Here's what. After they had this debate, you see, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm teaching on it was a debate back then. The poor people were trying to figure this deal out. But the Pharisees, listen, in John 7:52, then the Pharisees, folks, I got to shut it down here. They replied, are you from Galilee? The scribe said, are you from Galilee too? Well, that must have meant that they acknowledged that the Messiah was. Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. Oh, really? Micah 5 and 2 says he will come from Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, you see, ladies and gentlemen, some people have distorted the word Ephratah. Strong's number 672, 671, 670, and 669. A descendant of the house of Joseph. Well, that's what Amalek was. That's what Amalek's sons was. That's what Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, was. They were all Ephraimites from the house of Joseph. And wouldn't it be appropriate if Yahshua from the house of Joseph led the children of Israel into the geographical natural land, that it would be very appropriate for Yahweh from the house of Joseph, when he come in a flesh body, to lead us into the spiritual kingdom from the birth tribe of Joseph. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Men of Galilee, I've done proof to you that there was only one Jew. And did you know that Simon the Canaanite was the father of Judas? And the word Judas is Hellenization, Greek, for Judah. So there's one named Judah. He was a devil. Now listen to me well. The reason he was a devil, not all Jews are evil if they got the right bloodline out of the house of Phares and Zara. That's the correct bloodline. But the first three bloodlines from the blood of Judah, and his birthright son, the eldest, was to receive the birthright. And so then, therefore, Judah was disqualified from ever having any messianic birthright blessings bestowed upon him. Genesis 49 and verse 10 will tell you that he will rule over them through leadership. It was the largest tribe. In the house of Judah, under the Phares Zara, they were righteous men. There's not any better people upon the earth than the bloodline of Judah from Zara and Phares. They're wonderful men. I can tell them as soon as I see them. Look in their eyes. They're men of great stature, men of great character. They've got integrity, and they've got wisdom. And that's what Yahweh loved about that bloodline from Tamar and Judah. But Judah and Yeshua, that produced the bloodline of Sheba, the eldest son of Judah, he was in line to get the birthright. So therefore, it was disqualified. And I've taught on that. See, ask for my tape, how the serpent got into the house of Judah. Men of Galilee, Acts 1:11, I've got to close. Men of Galilee, they said, why stand you here looking into the sky? The same Yahweh who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way as you've seen him go, you men of Galilee. His last goodbye was from Galilee. His next hello will be into your mind that he was from Galilee. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to close. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. You can write me tonight. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now, I'm live tonight on the 23rd. You can call me. I'll take your call. The line's busy when you call in. It'll go to voicemail. Or just leave me a message and leave your number. I'll call you back on my dime. That's Pastor Buddy at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. You men of Galilee, I preached you a message tonight. And out of the house of Joseph, the birthright kinsman redeemer, proving all these things, ladies and gentlemen, that Christ was not Jewish. He never was. He never will be. Although he was kin, he had 1/13th part of his blood was invested in the house of Judah. He claimed Judah as a son. He didn't deny him when he sinned. He just cut his seed off and killed it. When you fornicate, that's what he said in John 8:44. Your children, you are children of Abraham and Judah, but you're children of Shua, the offspring, the Canaanite woman, your fornicators. And all that made them Jews mad. Oh, yeah, they were Jews. But they had their own blood in their veins. That's how the serpent got in. Ladies and gentlemen, you can listen to me and Brother Randall live every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can hear another hour as Brother Randall and I change the format. We discuss certain aspects of scriptures and the controversies that's raging today on WWRB 3.185 at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Friday night on WWRB around the world. And so if you'd like to join us for another hour and you'd like to listen to Pastor Buddy and Brother Randall exhort one another daily, and the Bible says to exhort one another, speak often one to another, and to call upon that name with reverence and worship him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love people like that. I admire people that will study their Bible. We might not agree, but if you're studying, I'm patient enough to wait for the rightful fruit as the Messiah is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to I greet all of our rest of our listeners, wherever you may be, listening to the Shepherd's Call. I appreciate your support and your love. I send you warm, pleasant greetings tonight from the house of Yahweh in New Tazewell, Tennessee. Do not get caught up in the Baal worship. Do not be overcome with the tide of tradition. But remember the truth. Stand for it. Work for it. Acknowledge it. And the day to come, think about the eternal reward. Would you like to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get out of here. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. Yahweh bless you.